Hi, this is Diane Carbo, RN, Caregiver Relief and CareTeamPartner.org. Today we're going to have Grace Meadows, a music therapist and campaign director for Music for Dementia, join us. She's going to discuss the profound effects that music is having on dementia patients. If you haven't already signed our petition to create a national strategy to address the caregiving crisis in our country, please visit careteampartner.org today, and please like, share, and subscribe or comment on this podcast. It helps us get the word out. Hi, this is Diane Carbo with Caregiver Relief and the newly launched Care Team Partner. Today I have with me Grace Meadows. She is a music therapist and a campaign director at Music for Dementia. And Grace, I'm really excited to have you here today. I'm an old nurse, well, seasoned nurse, and I have been a dementia care specialist, and I've seen the profound effects of music on patients, not just dementia. So tell me, what is Music for Dementia?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me to talk with you. It's lovely to be part of your conversations. What is Music for Dementia? Music for Dementia is a national campaign here in the UK that's calling for music to be an integral part of dementia care for everyone living with dementia. And we believe this so very passionately because of what you just mentioned in the intro there, the impact that it can have for people living with dementia and those caring for them. And we know that for people living with dementia, there are so many things that they lose as the condition begins to take hold. But what we see time and time again, regardless of where someone is at with their dementia journey, is that music has the power to reach them and help them connect in the here and now and enable them to be more than their diagnosis. So we're incredibly passionate about the power of music and its role and the role it has to play in supporting people.
I love that approach. I'm very much about promoting the patient-centered approach. And as you mentioned, it has to be about the patient. And I have seen music make profound impacts on even in the latest stages of dementia. So when did it launch and why did it launch?
It's had quite a fast history, really. Music and dementia is something that's been practiced for decades, really, both in the UK and the US. But more formally, in terms of the campaign, the foundation, the Utley Foundation that supports the Music Dementia campaign, started to do some research around 2014, 2015, about what was happening in the music and dementia ecosystem, if you like. And at the same time, I was working for the British Association for Music Therapy, also looking at what we could do with music and music therapy and dementia. And the two paths seemed to cross, really. And the foundation decided that its role was to try and create a commission. So to bring together experts from across a range of sectors to say, look, what's happening? What's the current research? What more needs to be done? How do we make more music more readily available for those with dementia? So a commission took place in 2017. And then in 2018, a report was published setting out a very clear set of practical recommendations. And really, that set of recommendations was put on the table for people to run with. And the foundation reflected on those and decided that actually it had a role to play in bringing those recommendations to life. And so in 2018, they decided to invest in music and dementia and set up the campaign Music for Dementia. And I joined the team in summer 2018, and we've been running with the campaign ever since.
Oh, how exciting for you. What a beautiful thing to do. Do something you love and share it with others. Can you tell me how music benefits people with dementia and their caregivers?
Absolutely. How long have we got?
As long as we need, I guess.
I think what you touched on earlier about the personalization is absolutely key to this. And interestingly, there was some research recently from the University of Toronto in Canada that's further embedding the idea that music is most effective when it's been personalized. So we know that music has all sorts of resonances for us, and it creates all kinds of things. It can create all kinds of things to happen when we have a connection with it. And so when we talk about the benefits of music for people living with dementia, one of the most profound benefits is that somebody is able to connect in the here and now. And we know that dementia takes people away from the here and now. It isolates, it disconnects, it removes them from the present moment. And actually, music is so amazing at bringing someone back into the here and now, this very moment. And in doing that, it also opens up and provides channels of communication for people beyond the verbal. We know that lots of people with dementia, they lose their ability to communicate verbally, whether that's it really does strip that ability away. And music is another way for people to communicate. And I think that in being able to connect in the here and now, to being able to connect and communicate with family and friends and loved ones, that enables that person to be seen for who they are beyond their diagnosis. And all of these things around and amongst the cognitive benefits, the physiological benefits, the social benefits, there are so many benefits that really music affords. It very much depends on what is that person's need at that moment and how can music support that person in that moment to have the best quality of life and best quality of care. And I think the thing that we're finding for carers is the ability of music to help them connect with the person they're caring for or their loved ones, but it also helps support their mental health. So we know that music can help reduce agitation. It can help to inspire, motivate, stimulate, enliven. All it really is a counter to the many of the effects and the symptoms of dementia. It's obviously not going to cure dementia, but what it really effectively does is counter the many symptoms that somebody might be experiencing at any one time. So really, when we talk about the use of music, it's about what does that person need in that moment? What music matters to them? How do they like to experience it? And how do we make that happen for them to help counter the symptoms that they're experiencing?
I have a personal experience I'm going to share. I was at a nurse practicing at a senior behavioral health unit, and we had this old Black lady who was a Southern Baptist. I know that's probably something you can't relate to, but that they are big gospel singers and I'm sure you know the music, okay? And she was totally catatonic in the later stages of dementia, and we couldn't, nothing we did ever, and when she had been there for weeks, she would respond to something, anything. And I actually had a friend come in and play piano, and she started playing gospel music for the group that was there, our patients there at the time. And this little sweet Black lady was catatonic, or she didn't respond. She was non-responsive to anything we did, and we took care of her for weeks. Doesn't she start singing gospel music? It had us all shocked. It had us all shocked because we didn't even know that she could speak, let alone sing. So it was, we were all in tears. So that was a very profound, and I've seen that multiple times over my time as a nurse. So I really applaud the Brits for this program that they've started, because I think it's an amazing.
Really, it's experiences like that that have made us realize that just shouldn't be a haphazard kind of thing. Absolutely. That people stumble across. That actually music can be, when it's deployed systematically, create those opportunities for everybody. And it's interesting because you share that beautiful story, because it really is beautiful, and it gets to the heart of so many things: the importance of personalization, the importance of creating musical moments. But it reminded me of seeing some music in action a couple of weeks ago, and a very similar story. Woman came into the room, was wheeled in, head down, no movement, no signs of her being present or in the room with us. And the musicians started to play. And before you knew, her foot was going.
Yes.
And then her hand was going. And then she raised her head and she started to look around the room, take in everyone around her. And then she started to smile and she started to hum along. You could just see the carers light up.
Yeah.
You could just see them light up because there's an energy there that they can work with, right? And
yes.
It's all... relationships is all about energy and energy transfer. And that's what, you know, you're trying to do. You're trying to give that energy to people through music. so that they have something to go on, really.
Well, with my little lady in the senior behavior health unit, it really started us. We would bring in Elvis gospel music. We brought in, actually, it was a way for us to connect with her on a regular basis. And as you said, it was a haphazard. And this was about 10 years ago. That one was the most profound one I've seen. Hey, Grace, can you tell me what kinds of music should a caregiver use for different moods, such as agitation, forgetfulness, depression, or even distraction?
Yeah, so I think it's really about taking the reading, as you say, of how that person is in the moment. So let's suppose we take agitation as an example. Someone's quite agitated, they're moving a lot, they're unsettled. Then it's about finding music that's grounded, that's calming, that's soothing, that has a steady, slow pulse to it, that can enable somebody to relax into that music. It probably doesn't want to be too busy in terms of all the different parts in it. Probably doesn't want to be too high in tone. So it needs to be lower register, perhaps very simple in its like orchestration maybe. So it could be like something like a guitar voice, just something simple and calm and reassuring. And often it's about what goes with the music. So if somebody is very agitated and you're able to put on calming music that resonates with that person in some way, a reassuring song, it might also be about accompanying that with a comforting handhold or a comforting gaze, a sense that you're conveying to that person that you're with them through the music and that you're helping them to reassure, okay, and that their feet, and that they're safe. Because actually when somebody's agitated and unsettled, really what they're potentially conveying to you is a feeling of being unsafe. And they want reassurance that they're safe and that they're okay.
Yeah, I always recommend not only the quieter music, softer music, but a lavender hand massage or a spritz of lavender so that you get the feeling of calm with the aroma and then with the music as well. And then the touch is always important if you can make that work. Absolutely.
Exactly. Because we know that when that touch happens, we know that certain hormones are released, which helps to reduce the agitation. The same is happening with the music. So you've got a double effect going on. If you've got those endorphins being released as music's being listened to, but you've also got the soothing oxytocin happening as well because of the touch, then that's going to help reduce that agitation more effectively and more quickly, potentially.
Yes, yes. COVID has reared its ugly head globally. How has that affected your services in the UK for people with dementia?
It really has affected everything, hasn't it? And it's so sad that we're seeing this new wave now. What we found here in the UK is that whilst organisations and services delivering in-person services, so that might be performances or music therapy or interactive music making sessions or dementia choirs, and such a wonderful raft of activities available with music. Whilst those couldn't happen in person, we saw enormous amounts of creativity kick in and people moved to online offers, which has been great for those people who have access to the internet and are able to use it confidently. What we found for those who don't use online services is that it's presented a challenge to people to be creative and to find musicality within them and to find creativeness. So thinking about carers in care settings, for example, and them thinking, how can we make music useful at this time? And I think one of the things that we've tried to do with the campaign over the pandemic is celebrate and share the stories of people using all their creativity and innovation around music so that it inspires other people. Because we know that for lots of people in care settings and living at home, the days have been very long, the weeks have been even longer, and time has just taken on this rather strange feeling. You don't know what day it is from one day to the next. And so actually music can be a really helpful way of creating routine and rhythm in the day and the week. You know, what music's used in the morning to help stimulate and wake people up, what music's used in the evening to calm people down and help them get towards bedtime, and, you know, what music's used in the day to perhaps work on a movement program. But also, how is music being used to help connect people? We know that there's been lots of lovely things that have happened, performances in care home gardens and outside windows and things. And that's worked really well when the weather's been with us. But when the weather hasn't been with us, the people have had to think of other ways. And so that's when, you know, there might have been a playlist created and set up for somebody on their device or whatever it might be, or there's been a tape sent in the post. There's just been a whole raft of ways, but it has been a real challenge for organizations because no one was expecting this, and they've had to think very quickly on their feet around how can they use that wonderful, flexible nature of music to reach people and keep people feeling connected and feeling part of something bigger, and use it to keep spirits and keep people going.
I think that has had to be the biggest challenge in the world, is people figuring out how to take this new norm. I've been very blessed. I'm in South Carolina, and we were a state that remained open. We weren't locked down totally to the degree other states or countries were in our country. And I was able to get out and about, and we did it safely and carefully with the mask and stuff. This is pre-vaccine even. Seeing it take, I can't tell you, I've seen it take such a terrible toll on our communities. And I love the fact that something positive was happening in your country with the music. I think we as a country here in the States probably dropped that ball in a lot of ways, because we didn't, we have maybe small movements like this, but nothing. I have to ask, I understand you have a Music for Dementia radio station.
We do indeed, which we created because of the pandemic. So we were very conscious that musicians and music therapists weren't able to go into care settings. And what we wanted to do was create a free radio stream that people could use at any time of the day to help make moments of music happen and create moments of connectedness. For example, we've got a function on there where you can put a dedication in. So if your mum's living in a care setting and that they listen regularly to the radio, you can send us a dedication and we'll play that out on the radio. So it's a lovely way of getting messages out there, but also providing people with music that was ad-free. And so it was really all about the music and what you could do with the music.
And for the age group that you are providing the music for, I'm sure Casey Kasem was big in your I don't know if you know who Kasem is, but Casey was a big DJ, and he was always dedicating songs to people all the time in the 70s. Oh, I'm dating myself. But it was just, we can see that's something that generation was definitely used to. And I just love it. I love it.
And it really helps to create a sense of community and to feel that you're not in this alone, that there are other people listening along with you in the music. And I think that's really very important. And alongside that, so we created the radio stream. And then, of course, we had the amazing news of a donation live on air of £500,000 that came to Music for Dementia from a philanthropist, having seen 81-year-old Paul Harvey compose an improvisation live on air.
That gave me goosebumps because I know Paul Harvey, and he's very popular. And to hear that he moved somebody to give £500,000 is amazing.
It was really quite the most extraordinary experience, because I was live on BBC Breakfast, which is a huge breakfast show here in the UK.
Yes.
And I had no idea what was coming. And they said, so this donation happened, and it was the most extraordinary moment and one that will stay with me forever. And I have had the great honour and privilege of getting to know Paul since then. But what we've been able to do with that money is help those organisations get back on their feet that would be providing services. So we've helped them think about creative ways of repurposing their services, or just helping them to get back going with the impacts of the pandemic. And what's been really exciting is seeing some of that money in action with those services recently. And then, of course, we've had the Paul and Nick Harvey story developed, because Paul was able to conduct one of our national orchestras here, which happened in the autumn. And for your listeners, we'd say listen out to M4D Radio on the 20th of December, because we have another exciting Paul Harvey moment to share with everybody. I'm not allowed to say any more at this point, but head over to M4D Radio.
This is a UK station. We can listen to it here in the US as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's M as in Mary, 4D Radio.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And number four.
Yeah.
Number four. MDRadio.com. Absolutely.
Oh, so it's M 4dradio.com.
Yes, that's
I'll make sure that that goes on the site as well. Grace, you've provided me with a bunch of links to Paul Harvey's story, and I am going to make those available on my site. This is so exciting, and I'm looking forward to what the new project is that you're hiding from us. What the new announcement on Christmas Day. How amazing. I will definitely be listening. I like to end all my podcasts with a message to my family caregivers, Grace. So if you'll forgive me for a moment, I'm going to remind my caregivers out there that they are the most important part of the caregiving equation. Without you, it all falls apart. So it's important that you practice self-care every day. Be gentle with yourself. Learn to forgive yourself. And take time to listen to some good music to make you feel better. Grace, thank you so much for joining us today. And I look forward to sharing this information with my listeners.
Lovely. Thank you so much. A real pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today. Please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. If you haven't signed our petition to advocate for a national strategy to address the caregiving crisis we are facing, please visit careteampartner.org. You will find a place where voices can come together to be heard. We want to share your story, support you along your caregiving journey with education, training, caregiving coaching, care management, and a respite coalition. Join us at careteampartner.org today.